Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan, hour number three, hour number two today of episode 83. Thanks so much for listening to the most interactive and unbiased show in the upstate. Great to be, great to have you with us on a Friday Eve edition of the show. So we've had kind of some different and spirited debates going on over the course of the show today. Neil Pappas called earlier and he said, Mark, I got a question for you that I don't know the answer to. I asked Sturge this question during the break. He didn't know the answer to it. I guessed an answer to it. We still don't know. A texter has responded as well. If a pitcher has a perfect game, so Clemson's Matt Clark had a perfect game going into the eighth inning and he walked a batter, so he lost his perfect game. He then gave up a home run in the ninth inning, so he lost the no-hitter shutout, the whole deal. But Neil asked if there's an error made in foul territory in a perfect game and then the pitcher gets the batter out and it's 27 up and 27 down, does the pitcher lose his perfect game? And I said, my guess is yes, because it has to be a clean sheet across the board, 0-0-0. And then if you have the error at 0-0-1. Mark Sturgis said that he doesn't know. A texter says an error does not break up a perfect game. A fielding error that does not allow a batter to reach base, such as a misplayed foul ball, does not spoil a perfect game. Weather-shortened contests in which a team has no base runners and games in which a team reaches base only in extra innings would potentially do that. That's what a texter says. I'd love to answer this question definitively, though, because I'm still not so sure. Another texter says, on my feeling today, that with Clemson making the field of 64 in the for postseason and for the college baseball postseason, they are taking another step towards squashing South Carolina in the Palmetto rivalry. And a texter said, I never knew there were so many Gamecocks fans when Spurrier was there. I'm glad they're back in the closet. So that's different strokes for different folks. A lot of people chiming in on this particular topic. And congratulations to Clemson baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, we do it each and every day at this time. We get to the top three topics that we're talking about today on the show. We call it the top three at three. And the top three at three begins now. See, I waited that time a little bit longer because Lonzo threw something at me.
The alarm is going to go off. It's going to happen. You think I'm joking about it.
Well, I see, Lonzo, you're creating appointment listening because I want people in their cars to be guessing when we say hit it each and every day. Hit it, hit it, hit it. When's he going to say it? There you go. All right. Coming up at number three today, there is a fascinating article on Sports Illustrated about the Carolina Panthers franchise and the realities of betting in the Bible Belt, the realities of betting in the Bible Belt. And Jonathan Jones, a writer for Sports Illustrated, has a really good in-depth article about this, about why Dave Tepper is exactly moving his team to South Carolina, what the motivations would be. And Dave Tepper, since he's been here, has really, really pushed the two states, one team slogan, right? Jerry Richardson, the reason why the team has played its training camp at Spartanburg is because Jerry Richardson, the former owner, played at Wofford College. But so those people just thinking that Dave Tepper is just, hey, wanting to include South Carolina in the party just because he's nice, this is what Jonathan Jones says. It's far from a philanthropic endeavor, of course. He says Tepper sees in South Carolina a state that could be more enthusiastic about its NFL team and thus make his franchise more money. But one big reason why Tepper wants a presence in both states lies in the future of sports betting. In a sense, he's hedging his bet on which state, North Carolina or South Carolina, legalizes sports gambling first. Then, if and when both do, he could, in theory, double dip. A quote from Dave Tepper, Panthers owner. Yeah, it takes time, especially down here in the belt. When other states around you do it, it'll come. It becomes a revenue issue for different things they want to do in the states. People have to decide what they want to do and what's right for them. And the New Jersey model that has been the one state that's really been successful with sports betting, basically everything's on the mobile device, and so it's raising a lot of money for the state because everything is mobile. You don't have to go into a casino. You don't have to go to a desktop computer. You have it on your mobile device. So people have to decide what's important to them. You know, it's interesting to consider the history of gambling in this state. When online poker became legal in the state of South Carolina, it became a billion-dollar business in this state. At one point, there was one video poker machine for every 100 South Carolinians. It became a multi-billion dollar industry here, but there was a cost. In August 1997, 26-year-old mother Gail Baker left her 10-day-old daughter in the car for 7 hours while she played video poker. Joy Baker's death became a symbol of the sins of video poker, and within 3 years, the machines were banned in the state. With everything you do, and gambling has its positives and negatives, but if you're wanting to avoid raising taxes in this state, if you want to look at lowering taxes in this state, I think a great thing to do is to look at outside revenue sources. I think Dave Tepper is ahead of the curve with this. He's hedging his bets on which state is going to do it first. So I'd like to ask you guys this question. For my fellow upstate citizens, who's going to be first in legalizing sports betting? Will it be North Carolina or South Carolina? And do you see, as I do, the benefits to legalizing that and adding an extra source of income and revenue in this particular state? I value your thoughts. I value your input. Next up. At number two, congratulations are in order to Clemson's baseball team. They got a statement win today, a resume-making win today over number six in the country, Louisville, in the ACC tournament. After a very disappointing opening to the tournament, falling to Boston College in extra innings, Clemson, and they didn't want to say it was a must-win, but folks, I like to say denial is not just a river in Egypt. They had to win today to get into the tournament. They lose to Louisville today. They go 0-4 in the ACC tournament. I think their bags would have been packed, but guess what? Not going to matter. Not going to happen. Clemson is in the tournament because they beat the number six team. The number six team in college baseball, 7-1 in a must-win game. Matt Clark, starting pitcher, was outstanding. Had a perfect game going into the eighth inning. Then yielded a walk. Gave up a solo home run in the ninth inning. Bottom of the ninth. Then was hit by a comebacker that plunked him in the left ankle. And left the game after that point. We hope he's okay. But folks, I know dancing is referred is a term kept to college basketball, but let's put it to baseball right now. The Clemson Tigers are dancing in the college baseball postseason. The South Carolina Gamecocks, a very proud baseball program, are not. And the Clemson Tigers not only stick another stake in Gamecocks Nation in the Palmetto rivalry, but they also, in my opinion, establish themselves as the number two men's program at Clemson with this particular win. Folks, how do you respond to pressure? When you've been under pressure in your life, how do you respond? Because the performances of Clemson baseball versus Clemson basketball couldn't be more polar opposite if they tried. They couldn't be more contradictory. Clemson basketball needed a signature win. Lost by a point to number 16 Louisville in February, 56-55. Lost by 2 points to number 5 UNC in March, 81-79. And needed wins in the ACC tournament and lost to North Carolina State, 59-58. Every single time they needed to show that they were an NCAA tournament team, they showed that they belong in the NIT or the not in tournament. Clemson's baseball team was in the identical position, had the worst of all, the worst of worst performances in the first game against Boston College, needed the victory when they absolutely had to have it. Unlike Clemson basketball, Clemson baseball got it done. And now you'll be watching Clemson baseball in the college baseball postseason. Congratulations to Matt Luke, Matt Clark on an outstanding day. Congratulations to Clemson baseball and Clemson baseball fans. Your season continues, and you'll be able to hear all of Clemson's games right here on ESPN Upstate. And finally, So all of the magazines are out in terms of college football. The major ones are out. We are still awaiting Phil Steele's magazine. And I thought this was really interesting. Alabama's number one over Clemson in two out of the three magazines. I think that's a slap in the face to the Clemson Tigers. But what is interesting to me is that no one seems to have a consensus on what to make of the South Carolina Gamecocks. And as an example, Athlon Magazine has the Gamecocks number 33 in the nation. They have Florida State 43, the Trojans, USC Trojans 47. So they have the Gamecocks 33. Lindy's has the Gamecocks 55. So where is the truth for the South Carolina Gamecocks? Because if they finish 33 with that schedule, according to Athlon Sports, that's probably a 7-5 team. Right, in the, with the most difficult schedule in the country. If Lindy's is right, that probably means that South Carolina finishes 5-7. There's a wide gap there, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of what the experts think South Carolina is going to do this year. Where do you come out on that particular question? You know, I've been in Will Muschamp's camp in his corner. I see the Gamecocks finishing the season at 8-4. By the way, projected standings for the magazines, South Carolina is projected to finish fourth in the SEC East in each of the three magazines, behind Georgia, Florida, and Missouri. The Gamecocks are predicted fourth ahead of Tennessee, Kentucky, and Vandy. All three magazines, Athlon, Street & Smith, and Lindy's, have the exact same SEC East projection. How does that make you feel, Gamecocks fans? 1-844-477-3776. Those are today's top three at three. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. You can get to us on Twitter as well, where if you're following us, we will get to your tweets on the air. At Mark Ryan on air, M-A-R-C Ryan on air, at Lonzo on word, at ESPN Upstate, if you would be so kind as to follow our station. You can also email the show, which you guys are doing, and I appreciate it so much, in increasing numbers. Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, coming up next on the show, folks, this is the biggest injustice that I've seen in a very long time in college athletics, and it has nothing to do with the payments of college athletes. I'll share it with you next, right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. What's going on, everybody? Hope you're doing really, really well. Friday Eve edition of the show, abbreviated version. Congratulations to Clemson baseball for qualifying for the Field of 64 and advancing to the regional. Spirited conversation on where the rivalry stands, and also congratulations in order for surpassing what the basketball team has done and establishing themselves as truly the second best men's program at Clemson right now, the second best money-making men's program at Clemson right now. And I'll say this, kind of some behind-the-scenes information here, because Lonzo and I and some of us here at ESPN Upstate, we carry the games for Clemson Athletics. And what I can tell you is that, and they have the they have their own numbers, Clemson does, Clemson's athletic department. When we had conflicts between baseball and basketball, it was always interesting, okay, what do we air? Because we have a responsibility to air, you know, Clemson basketball, Clemson baseball on our station. Clemson would always instruct us to go with baseball over basketball when there was a conflict in schedule. They prioritize baseball over basketball, and or they think their baseball team is better than their basketball team. And isn't that what we've now seen? When the chips were down, when they needed a major victory, the basketball team was unable to get it. The baseball team delivered over a top 10 team. And if you can beat Louisville 7-1, you can beat just about anybody in America. Outstanding performance today from Matt Clark as Clemson advances while South Carolina goes home. All right. I want to get to this because this is, to me, the most offensive college athletic story that I've seen in a very, very, very long time. All right. Let me tell you about the University of St. Thomas. All right. The University of St. Thomas is a Division III school in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference. At least it will be until the end of the 2020 season. That's because their conference, the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, has decided that St. Thomas, a founding member of the conference, will be kicked out of the conference for what? Why would a team be kicked out of the conference? Do you know the story, Lonzo?
Yes, I do.
Darn. It would be better. This would be a better question if you didn't know the story.
And plus, I have experience with this kind of. So.
Well, I want to hear about it. I want to hear about that. But they're being kicked out of the story, kicked out of the conference for being too good at sports. I'm sorry, what? Okay, so St. Thomas has an enrollment nearly twice that of any of the conference's other schools. And I did the research. Their enrollment is 9,878 students. Big deal. So the other schools have about 5,000 enrollments, 6,000 enrollments. So what? Okay. And they've won 56 more conference titles than the second place school since the 2013-2014 season. St. Thomas has dominated the MEAC. 72 MEAC titles since 2013-2014. The next closest league member has 16. Not my problem. Not their problem. You're going to kick a team out because they're too good? And then you're going to hide behind the guise of their enrollment is almost twice that of any of the other conference's schools? So let me get this right. So Clemson should not be able to compete with UCF, right? Because UCF's enrollment is 55,000 and Clemson's enrollment is 24,000. Shouldn't be able to compete with UCF, right? Should not even be able to play UCF, right? 55,000, 24,000. Should not even be able to compete, right? What a joke. What a joke. They also shouldn't be able to compete with Arizona State, right? 53,000 students, 24,000 students for Clemson. Shouldn't be able to compete. So are we going to kick Clemson out of the ACC because they're the only non-cupcake in the division? Folks, this is an out-and-out travesty. I'm going to share with you right here the official statement from the conference. Listen to this nonsense. This is the MEAC conference here. After extensive membership discussions, the University of St. Thomas will be involuntarily removed from membership in the Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, the MIAC. The MIAC President's Council cites athletic competitive parity in the conference as a primary concern. St. Thomas will begin a multi-year transition immediately and meanwhile is eligible to compete as a They're eligible to compete as a full member of the MIAC through the end of spring 2021. St. Thomas is one of seven founding members in the MIAC and will leave the conference in good standing with a long and appreciated history of academic and athletic success. They are citing parity, a desire for competitive parity in the conference. So they're going to kick out a founding member of the league involuntarily. The MIAC is saying to the University of St. Thomas, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. That is what they're saying. And that, folks, is the greatest and most egregious foul. This is the most offsides thing I've seen in college athletics in the last 10 years. I've never even heard of something like this. What is your reasoning? They have more students. So what? The United States has 100 times the population of Trinidad and Tobago, and they beat us in soccer to knock us out of the World Cup. We both have to play. We both have to compete to get in. So they have twice the enrollment. Big deal. You're not kicking them out because of that. You're kicking them out because they're kicking everyone's tail that plays in the conference. Lonzo, this is a total joke.
Yeah, it's completely ridiculous. Back in the 80s, I actually played for Division III Otterbein. And
Were they the Platypi in Butte, Montana?
They were not. They were actually the Cardinals or the Otters. It was all confusing. There was mascots painted on one side. Anyway.
You don't know the mascot of the college.
They didn't know the mascot. Well, we were going with the Cardinals.
It's kind of like the Auburn Tigers and the War Eagle.
Yeah, yeah.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, because there was history, the Otters were still there. But anyway, there's a team called Mount Union. I don't know if you've heard of Mount Union.
Yes.
But Mount Union has won 13 titles. Mount Union, it's like going a Pee Wee team playing a high school team or a college team playing a pro team. That's how big the Mount Union guys are, how good they were. But I never heard anyone complain and whine and say, we want Mount Union out of the league because they're just too good and we can't compete. I mean, that's just ridiculous. That's just – I didn't know how to describe it. I
so
cannot believe
them out
how
your
wimpy
league?
No, what I'm saying is they would never say something like that. And there is a dominance there from Mount Union and OAC, and I never heard anybody on any team say they should get rid of them. This is ridiculous. It really is.
I struggle not to have Lonzo hit the dump button. The dump button is something that Lonzo has to hit when I say a word that I'm not allowed to say on the radio. And I struggle to find words to describe how I feel about this that are allowed on the radio.
It's ridiculous. It's indescribable.
I can't freaking believe this, Lonzo. I mean, 72 conference titles since 2013-2014 is insane. So they're the biggest school there. Big freaking deal. Big deal. They've got under 10,000 students. You know, I mean, there are countries with way less population than the United States that waxes poetic with us on the soccer pitch all the time. What Clemson is doing with an undergrad population under 20,000. Okay, I guess the Tigers shouldn't be able to compete then. How do they ever compete with South Carolina? Gosh, South Carolina has a bigger student population. How do they ever compete? What a joke. What a joke. The council cites competitive parity in the conference as a primary concern. How about, I've got this as a primary concern. Be better. Get better. Be better at what you do. Get better coaches. Coach them up better. Recruit better athletes. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful. Dear God, you're kicking them out because they're kicking the conference tail and everything. I can't even believe this. If you're too good, you know what, Lonzo? Sometimes in our industry, the same thing happens, and it makes me sad. You can perform so well that you price yourself out of your job, right? Like your ratings indicate that you merit a salary that, whom you're working for can't afford. I've seen that happen in multiple places. Well, this guy got us a 5 rating. I think this guy will get us a 4, but it'll cost us half as much.
So what you're saying is if we do really well, you'll have to move on?
Keep continue helping us do great, Lonzo.
I'm gonna push for that, and
I'll take the chips wherever they may fall. Let's get to Jimmy, who's been hanging patiently on the line. I am all kinds of fired up about this, folks. Please tell me that you're with me on this. That this is a crime against humanity. That University of St. Thomas is being kicked out of their conference for being too good. You got to be kidding me, Jimmy. What's up, man? How's it going?
Good. Well, you brought up the subject of South Carolina and Clemson, and then Clemson having a better program even in baseball. Last time I checked, South Carolina has 2 World Series championships back-to-back. They went to 3 World Series in a row. They've been winners and went to the College World Series with Bobby Richardson in the 70s, June Raines, and then Ray Tanner. So South Carolina's program is kind of hit a curve there, excuse the pun, because Ray Tanner left. But, hey, South Carolina still has the best college baseball team between the two and perennially until Ray Tanner retired.
Okay, so I'd like to share this with you, Jimmy. At no point during the show did I say Clemson has a better baseball program than South Carolina. They're better right now than South Carolina. Okay.
And they just won one game to make the tournament.
Right.
They got lucky. So that doesn't make them better than us. It just means that right now our program is on a downturn. They should have hired Landon Powell, the coach at North Greenville College, as our coach instead of this guy that we have now, which I can't remember his name. You know, it's like Landon Powell has been very successful at North Greenville College. He's been to the tournament every year that I can recall that he's been the coach at North Greenville. So let's get Landon Powell in there as soon as possible.
Well, Jimmy, I'll ask you this. I need an admission from you, Jimmy, because for Gamecocks and Clemson fans alike in the Palmetto rivalry, admission is a very difficult step, but it's also the first step toward recovery. So I need to ask you this, Jimmy. Can you admit that Clemson baseball right now is better than South Carolina baseball right now?
No.
They are. No. They are. They're advancing and going home.
Both of them are in a downturn.
They're obviously better than South Carolina this year.
Hold on. Let me finish. Now, when South Carolina went to the World Series, I think the 2 years we won the World Series, we beat Clemson twice in each one of those World Series. Beat some of the perennial winners in college baseball World Series. So that is better than whatever happens in the regular season.
I'm not ranking the program of Clemson ahead of the program of South Carolina, but right now, this year, they're better than you are. They're better than you, period.
Well, by one game, winning in the ACC tournament, they're going to make the tournament. But, you know, hey. But we'll be back. We're winners, and we're going to be back at the top in college baseball and our football program. I know there's a lot of naysayers of Will Muschamp, but Will Muschamp is going to bring our college football program to what Spurrier had it at and then exceed that.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the phone call. Do appreciate it. Always appreciate your participation. Whether we agree or disagree, I value you tremendously. How about, here we go. Please say Clemson, not Clemson. I've muted games on TV because of this. Thanks, Greg from Spartanburg. Greg, my Hooked on Phonics lesson continues here. Clemson. I'm down with the Clemson. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Clamp. Turn your radio off.
That's Lonzo, off. Greg. That's
yeah.
Lonzo.
Yeah, Lonzo doesn't
Clemson.
Care.
Clemson. Another texter says, how about Furman baseball picking up a win today? How about how good North Greenville's University's baseball team is? A tip of the cap to both of those. And again, Furman University, most beautiful campus I've ever seen with my eyes. Okay? Toured it on Monday. Toured the campus on Monday, blown away. Took a walk around the lake, walked around the little bell tower there. Insane. Absolutely positively insane. Congrats to Furman. Congrats to North Greenville University as well. And then we've got my main man and frequent listener and fan of the show, Michael Stathakis, stirring the pot as he is known to do. He is a restaurateur after all. Quote, I think the Clemson strength and conditioning program, not baseball, is the second most prodigious member of the athletic department. after Dabo Swinney. The fact they may not technically be a sport with balls doesn't shrink away or lessen the appearance of the amount of dosing they're handing out unnoticed. Michael Stathakis, you have awakened the sleeping giants of the Clemson fan base right here on the show. All right, coming up next, there is a major beef going on in the media between a star athlete and a star media member. Who's right? Who's wrong? What does it mean? We'll tackle that next right here on the most interactive sports radio show in the Upstate. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan, and I appreciate that you are right here on ESPN Upstate.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, check on the text line. This station is slowly turning into Clemson Homer Station number two. Mark, I get it. You do not want SEC fans or alumni calling nor listening. I will now turn off the show. Thank you for all that you do for Clemson. Sincerely, Billy and Taylors. Billy, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the show, 1 to 4 p.m. I know you'll be listening. Thank you very much for doing so. Folks, you congratulate people that deserve congratulations. You criticize people that that deserve criticism. You talk about interesting topics as a sports radio show host. Yes, you devise interesting topics, but you're either interesting or you're not. You either host an interesting show or you don't. You're either an interesting team or you're not. All right? Clemson right now is interesting. Beating a top 10 team is interesting, and you will never get me to apologize for talking about that, ever. All right. By the way, I was telling you about this St. Thomas Athletic story where the MIAC is kicking them out of the league because they're looking for competitive parity. And St. Thomas has won 72 conference titles since 2013-2014. So the league is kicking them out because they're too good at what they do. Okay? And some comments on this: embarrassing for the MIAC, great lesson to teach young adults, don't compete to get better, find the easiest way to stay inferior, but to somehow reward ourselves for it. Maybe the wrong team was removed from the conference then. Jeez. Let's see here. Question, what would you do in a game that's so lopsided? You're playing all your players and using a normal game playing stance. How do you remedy that? Have them not play at their best at all times? They didn't win all their games like that one. Why force them out like this? They won one game 97-0. And that is viewed as the impetus for kicking them out of the league because they won a game 97-0. And you know what I say to that? Create different rules. There are mercy rules in women's softball at the collegiate level. You know, if you're up by 10 runs after a certain number of innings, I think five, you don't play the last couple of innings. You can create a mercy rule, but you don't get...
No mercy rule in football. If you can't stop them, that's your problem.
Well, I like that. And Lonzo, I feel the same damn way about pitchers hitting batters after they hit a home run off of them. Like, that is the weakest thing I've ever seen. And then people will tell me, you don't understand baseball, bro. Well, guess what? I played baseball up until high school, and, you know, you didn't hit somebody that hit a home run off you. If you didn't want him flipping his bat, pitch better the next time. Gosh. I mean, we're punishing good performance nowadays, man. I don't get it. I do not get it. You're not going to kick Clemson out of the ACC because they're kicking your tail. And Clemson is bottom half of the ACC in terms of enrollment. I don't understand this. I don't get it at all. Sturge came in here in the last break. He was telling us about a nightmare that he had last night, that he was caught in public wearing a Speedo. Have any of you actually been in public, caught in public wearing a Speedo?
Do bikers count? You know, those bicyclists I mean, that's not exactly...
That's not a Speedo.
What is it?
Those are tight spandex, but a Speedo shows more than you want to see. You know, Lonzo, I watched The Bachelor, and they had a Speedo contest, and I almost vomited the other day. because they had a Speedo contest on that show.
Did you watch the entire thing?
I was watching with the fam, yeah. So I was watching with the fam. It was not very, very interesting.
Great concern.
Yes, you probably should be. You probably should. But here's the problem for me right now, okay? I've got back problems right now. All right, and I'm trying to find a way through this. You know, I'm trying to find a way through these back issues because I've never had them before. My chiropractor actually said to me, and you said to Sturge, you said, "Well, were you proud of what you saw in your dream?"
Yeah,
you said to Sturge.
I definitely
here's
said
the,
that.
Here's the problem for me, Lonzo. I'm 6'1", 99. If I was wearing a Speedo, I couldn't see anything below my belly to be proud of. I wouldn't be able to see it. So they're actually telling me that my back would be in less discomfort if I lost weight. So guess what, Lonzo? Starting June 1st to the end of August 31st, June, July, and August, my aim is to go from 199 to 179. Okay? 199 to 179 because I want to be able to see how good I look in a Speedo, and right now I can't see anything. If I wear a Speedo and I look down, it looks like I'm naked. All right, I can't see a darn thing. So, in other words, the only color I see is my skin color, right? I don't see any swimsuit at all.
I didn't need any more explanation. I think that was quite enough.
You look thoroughly confused by that.
No, that was disgusting. That's my disgusting.
All right, coming up next, this is one time where a news anchor got over on the person he was interviewing, a fan. It's hilarious, and I'll share it with you next as the best thing we heard today. You're Offsides with Mark Ryan, right here on ESPN Upstate. So will you give me a mulligan, Upstate? Because evidently I've offended a lot of you on this show. I would like to rewind time and pretend the last 2 hours did not happen. An abbreviated show today as Clemson earns their way into baseball's postseason with a 7-1 win over the number 6 in the nation, Louisville Cardinals. They advance. I have since offended Gamecocks Nation by saying this really isn't much of a rivalry anymore, and I expect to see no more garnet and black worn by anybody, especially since Clemson is advancing, and you guys are upset. So we roll with the open show credits, with the open show introduction as a way of saying, let's just rewind the last couple of hours and give me a mulligan, if you would be so kind. I would greatly appreciate that. All right. It is time for the best thing we heard today. Here is a sports anchor out of the San Francisco area interviewing a Portland Trailblazers fan because, you know, Portland played Golden State. He can't believe the Portland fan actually thinks the Blazers are going to win this series. This is hilarious. Check this out.
You're out of your mind. Blazers in 7. In a heartbeat, way easy. Dame's going to take it to him with a bruised rib or a separated rib. Doesn't matter. It's going to be the Blazers in 7. And then they're going to win in 5 against Milwaukee.
Okay, as you can see, cannabis is plentiful here in Portland.
You guys. And the fan was trying to be able to say something else, trying to be able to get another word. They wouldn't give him a word. He said, the anchor said, as you can see, cannabis is plentiful here in Portland. That's what a diss, man. What an absolute diss.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.